How about another sign spiritually? The ridicule of those who believe in the doctrine of the return of Christ. Notice, if you will, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fall asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." What is Peter predicting here? He's predicting that in the last days, the doctrine of the return of Christ would be held up to ridicule. It would be held up to mockery. And, you know, even in my visit to Australia, I can't tell you how many horror stories I've learned from people in their churches where their pastor won't talk about the second advent. And if you bring up the second advent in the church, you become the subject of ridicule. You know, this prophecy is very interesting to me because it looks like it's coming from our own. It's coming from Christendom itself, who is putting people under derision and ridicule for coming to a conference like this that promotes the return of Jesus Christ. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, has a lengthy statement here on pages 285 and 286. He says, when the disciples wanted to talk about prophecy, Jesus quickly changed the conversation to evangelism. That's not what Jesus did. He wanted them to concentrate on their mission in the world. He said, in essence, the details of my return are none of your business. What is your business is the mission I have given you. Focus on that. If you want Jesus to come back sooner, focus on fulfilling your mission, not figuring out prophecy. Speculating on the exact timing of Christ's return is futile because Jesus said, no one knows about that day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Since Jesus said He didn't know the day or the hour, why should you try to figure it out? Now, in this whole conference, have we given you a day or the hour? This is what you call a straw man argument. He goes on and he says, what we do know for sure is that Jesus will not return until everyone God wants to hear the good news has heard it. He goes on in this quote and he says, Jesus said the good news about God's kingdom will be preached in all the world to every nation, then the end will come. If you want Jesus to come back sooner, focus on fulfilling your mission, not figuring out prophecy. It's easy to get distracted and sidetracked from your mission because Satan would rather have you do anything besides sharing your faith. He will not let you do all kinds of things as long as you don't take anyone to heaven with you. But the moment you become serious about your mission, expect the devil to throw all kinds of diversions at you. When that happens, remember the words of Jesus, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work of God I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's what you call a straw man argument. What is a straw man argument? You create a misrepresentation of what your opponent supposedly believes. And then you tear down not what your opponent believes, but the misrepresentation that you've created. It's called a straw man argument because a man of straw topples over very quickly. This is Rick Warren, a best-selling writer, very popular preacher in Christianity. This is his view of people like ourselves that believe in Bible prophecy. Number one, we don't care about evangelism. Number two, we're speculating about the exact return of Christ. Number three, we're being distracted from our mission. Number four, Satan is using us. Number five, we're not serious about our mission. And number six, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. This is not coming from the outside. This is coming from within. This is the very thing that Peter said, did he not? That people who believe in the return of Christ and are interested in it will be subject to ridicule and mockery in the last days. Here's another sign. What about apostasy in the church? Is that happening today? 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You know what a Bible teaching pastor sees every Sunday in his flock? This is what he sees. He sees people out there holding up their signs. One person has a sign and says, "Remember how much money I give each week to this church." Another person says, "Make sure there are enough programs for my kids." Another person holds up a sign that says, "Tell me how God wants to bless me." Another person says, "Please remember to refer to sin as bad choices." Another person says, "Don't tell me about hell. It makes me feel bad." Another person says, "Tell me about what Jesus can do for me." Another person says, "Tickle my ears." Another person says, "If you don't do things my way, I will." Usually it's leave the church. Only good news. My favorite, be relevant. That's the pressure your Bible teaching pastor is under all over the world. Because we're living in a time period where people come to church not for God. They come to church for themselves. It's exactly what Timothy predicted for the last days. Very quickly, how about some signs related to society? Notice, if you will, Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. It says, "The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works, of their hands, so as to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts." What would be signs in society in the last days? Number one, there'd be murders. Would you say that's happening today? Look at the abortion rate around the world. Number two, there would be sorceries. You know what the Greek word for sorcery is? Pharmakia, where we get the word what? Pharmacy. Although out here I notice sometimes you guys call the pharmacist a chemist. But a pharmacy is a place where you get what? Get drugs. Another sin of the last days would be immorality. Is that happening today? Have you heard of the LGBTQU movement? What does that stand for? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer, and then the U. I didn't even know what that meant. I had to look it up. It means undecided. And, you know, we laugh at this, but all around the United States, you know what young kids are talking about in public school? What's their gender? What do they feel like this day or that day? Now, when I was going through school, I didn't know that was an option. I was born a certain way, and I'm a boy or a man, whether I liked it or not. But that's not the way it works today. The key word today is gender fluidity. And I'm not just trying to stand up here and say everything bad. What I'm trying to say is the Lord and the prophecies of the Bible told us that this day would come. It shouldn't be too much of a shock. And the stage, as I've tried to argue throughout, is being set for the end times drama.